dragging in. I want everybody's attention. That is, even if you're mid-design, take your eyes off your brand new dragon or your swamp that you're creating. And attend to me. First, I want to show you something. This is the Vicarious Universe blog for our kinship, which I think we ought to change the title of it to Vicarious Universe.
I think we can.
Well, I think we can, but I just wanted to check with my co-designer. And Lingard, any of y'all met Lingard in-game? Three of you have. Lingard, one of the elves, well, there's a picture of him, was so excited about our blog, our paper topic about comparing Weathertop in the novel and in the game, that he wrote a paper, and he posted it right there. And wow. So for those of you that have written your own papers on this, feel free to go in there and treat that as a primary source. That, you know, if you quote from it or if you get an idea from it, you would want to footnote it at like a primary source. But here is he is a professor of medicine at a Australian university, and he's also in our kinship online. And so he's written a paper. He just thought it was too cool to compare with Weathertop to Weathertop, and so there it is.
He should be in
the
class. He is vicariously.
He is vicariously.
Oh boy.
You had a question, somebody? I don't know. So I just wanted to tell you about that. And please make comments on his blog entry, if you will. I mean, not all 14 of you have to, but surely a few of you can get on there and respond to his blog posting. I know he get a kick out of that.
He puts his tags on
just like that. Okay, they're back to our own class blog. I should say, you may have noticed we have three visitors. They graduate students in what program?
Teaching and learning,
and they're taking a class on new media and learning with the awesome Professor Kevin Leander, and they were sent in as delegates from that graduate seminar to observe our class, and so, you know, be sure to be extra sparkly and brilliant so that they can report on to their classmates.
Professor, I always give 110%.
I know you do.
You're always sparkly and brilliant here. That's what I think of.
That is so true. So, audit visitors, you might want to go to this blog at your leisure and look at our class syllabus so that you can get an idea of where today's lesson fits in. We're week 12, and you can see that for Thursday, they have a blog topic assigned, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But right now in class, we are doing a design workshop on how to create. We have made our own online game called Fairy Queen Online, which is a remediation of Edmund Spenser's poem, The Fairy Queen. That's a poem from the Renaissance.
It's a short poem.
Very short. and they've read book three, and now we're building an online game based on book three. Hello, Chris. Come on. Here's a seat for you. And so today is the first day when we start explaining how to create your own online game. So with that, I'll hand it over to Matt Hall.
Okay, guys, here's what we're going to talk about today. We've got a lot to go through. Our last exciting episode together, we talked about the magic circle. We discussed some of the rules of play from Salen and Zimmerman. And now we're going to have a conversation. So I want a couple of you go to library.vanderbilt.edu. Get in the Oxford English Dictionary, the mother of all dictionaries. So that's it. Those people who need to busy their hands with their keyboards, that's a good place to busy it. and then the rest of you can follow along. This is going to get interactive fairly quick, but I want to take you through a couple. I've got some things scheduled for next Tuesday, and I'm going to go back and forth. It's sort of one long extended session. Who brought their Bibles? If you have them on text, make sure you get them up, because when we have the conversations at how we're going to translate one to the other, we want to want you to reach into the text whenever possible, or the digital text whenever possible. So we're going to talk about, during the course of the day, we're going to talk about some design mechanics that are peculiar, in particular to Neverwinter Nights 2. We're going to talk about more conceptual models that we have to deal with before we can actually go into the tool set and be productive. And then we're going to give out, by the end of class, we're going to give out your team assignments. We're going to break up into teams, and we're going to reconfigure the room next time based upon those teams. So you come back once you're cohabitating with your new teammate in the class. Being conjoined during the context of the class. So, in any case, let me do a couple things. Switch us over to the math, Professor, FKO math. Let's see if you can zoom that into like 125% for me. And Mr. Shelton, I might have you, do this for us up here. And then maybe you can figure out how to bring the students into it. You remember how to use the smart board? Okay. We'll see if Mr. Shelton, they remember, stay to the left of it so they can see you. Don't pick up the markers quite yet. This is the physical space that we constructed last year. I want you to peruse it and enjoy it. You don't have to understand it yet, because between Matt Shelton, Professor Clayton, and I, we're going to be able to describe some of the assumptions. Jay and I were revisiting this on Tuesday, and we have some reconceptions that we're going to apply to it. So keep that as sort of an ambient backdrop for the time being. What do you think the biggest challenge is for us in taking this and porting it into Neverwinter Nights? Anybody conceive of what the biggest, has everybody had an opportunity to play, first of all? Who's played? Let me see all the hands of everybody who's been in there and played at least once in Neverwinter Nights. So almost all of you, with the exception of one, has had a chance to play Neverwinter Nights. So you can see how the world works. Evan's ready to answer the question. What do you think, taking components of this? Colin, have you had a chance to play Neverwinter Nights yet?
I have.
Okay, good. So what do you think the challenge of porting this media, the text, over into that space?
The hardest part's interpreting the unknown.
Okay. Pump a few more bars around that, because we started to talk about it last time.
Right. Knowing the geography of it, knowing what's where, how much time elapses in between, how the characters look, how their personalities are. Some of that's evident.
Spencer didn't go into too much detail describing the physical world outside of whatever was exactly relevant to what we were doing, what he was talking about at the moment. You know, he didn't describe the landscapes around there.
So what does that mean in terms of actually design process?
It's all subjective, yeah. What you think.
What's Kyle? It is subjective, like Amir said. Yeah.
We're gonna have to agree on stuff. I think that's gonna be what's gonna be hard, is all fitting our own image of this world together into one image.
We all know that Britta Mart's a 6'2", 120-pound blonde woman is what we conceived of.
She's about
122. 122. So Kyle's already disagreeing on the topic. So getting agreement, I can't believe there's multiple interpretations with the rich, luscious detail that Spencer provided in the text. I think it's rich and luscious.
Well, that's why the realistic novel was an invention in literature. Because realism is not his strong suit.
So we have a lot of things that we have to interpret. So would you say there's that this is a good design template?
Not really.
Well, Chris, why not? Because of these
it's
factors.
Like every canto, he like transports from one place to another, and like every canto like has an event of different characters, and Britomar doesn't appear until the end of the book, and like it's hard to know what route she was moving to.
So true.
Yeah,
it's true. Who has an Oxford English Dictionary online up and readily accessible? Y'all to race your busy fingers to that top word, milieu, noun. pop that up for me, the first one to get that out. Just get read a definition of what a milieu is, first couple things from our exciting Oxford English Dictionary online.
An environment surroundings, especially social surroundings.
Say it again and speak up.
An environment surroundings, especially social surroundings.
Social surroundings. What's the second definition, Derek?
A group of people with a shared outlook, a social class or set.
How many more definitions do they have of milieu? I think that
they also have 2B in France, the criminal underworld.
That's interesting.
Calm down.
He's excited about that French criminal underworld. Look out. Have you been to France lately?
Nope.
You drive a Renault?
No.
Okay. All right, just checking. I want to make sure I'm on my address here. So I think the appropriate one is that's an environment, surroundings. How does it? Especially social surroundings. Why do you suppose that would inject the word milieu into our conversation at all, aside from the fact that I like to have us use the OED online?
Well, it's going to be an online game, isn't it? So there will be more of a social element that we have to think about.
There is that, but we make an assumption that with Neverwinter Nights, I want to talk about the game mechanics to that point. We're not making an MMO. This is not a massively multiplayer. Kind of like a small multiplayer.
We still need to use NPCs.
Yeah, sorry, sir.
We still need to use NPCs.
Without a doubt, we do. Without a doubt. But let's take it. The mechanics of the game are, we don't want to assume that there's going to be 1,000 people playing at the same time and we have to entertain them all in the way that Turbine entertains people. We're not a design company. Not a publishing game publishing company. But what we need to consider is the environment and the surroundings. How would the environment and the surroundings impact your understanding and or enjoyment? Two questions lumped in there. Understanding, one, and then enjoyment of the actual Spencer experience.
Well, interaction with the NPCs could give insight to the actual narrative and the action of what's going on. Maybe we're not going to see everything Britomart is doing, but we can hear about people talking about her. Learn about what she's doing through that.
Okay, so narrative can unfold through the NPCs. And you can disclose through the NPC element parts of the narrative. How does the environment actually impact that, Justin?
Well, we could offer a more linear design and use the environment to guide the player's path.
Talk about a linear design. Give us an example of how you conceive that.
Well, basically shutting off all other pathways and just allowing the character to geographically roam through one path where we want them to go or designate them to go.
So this goes to the point where the designer has really the control of how the narrative unfolds. You're talking about a sequencing, right? 1, 2, 3. Does that mean that you, like, for example, you can't go to point 2 before completing point 1? Mm-hmm. Is that consistent with the way Edmund Spencer does his work? Has delivered the Fairy Queen to us?
That is such a complex question.
It is.
So think about it.
He's creating that. So he decides what happens and when it happens. It's all in a sequence of some sort. But at the same time, it just seems like there's random things going on.
Is there a temporal sequence in that milieu?
Yes and no. It's not one that you can follow as a single person, but they're all happening in a set order.
So what kind of design decisions does that mean you have to make? Go ahead.
This is so interesting in terms of literary theory that we got to talk about it a little more. A poem is obviously sequential, and you read one line after another.
Sure.
And, you know, the book, by definition of the medium, is linear. There's no other way to get through a book without reading it, one word at a time. I mean, even if you skip parts, you're still doing it linear. So that medium of the book is a linear medium. Spencer complicates it to the all, you know, he takes the medium to the limit in terms of linearity, doesn't he? What does he do? What kind of temporal and spatial things that you've been able to observe just in the parts you've read does he do with this book?
The characters start from different places.
Yes.
And
great.
They go along their path and encounter each other in the same place.
And diverge.
diverge, and then they connect again.
Right. Very good. More on that line? Keep elaborating on what Chris has said.
And I think their final destination is to meet the Fairy Queen.
Uh-huh.
So all the creatures will meet each other and then diverge, and then they will collect in the same place.
Wonderful.
In the end.
Wonderful. And sometimes the narrative will follow one of them, diverting from the main one. As you said, Britomart starts us off, and you don't see her for several cantos. So the characters are not only coming from multiple directions, meeting, and then diverging in different directions, but then the narrative jumps around and chooses which ones to follow and kind of braids them together. So even though you're processing it, because of the medium, you're processing it linearly. But in your mind, you're assembling it on multiple temporal and spatial levels. And that's what literature has been doing since the beginning, is wrestling with that linear space. Now we have a new medium, and I'm going to pass the torch right back here to Matt in just a second, and he'll continue this discussion about this. Now we have a new medium that does give you different ways of movement in space from the linear.
Because time passes, things are necessarily linear in some regard. And then because you have to read a book, and unless you're reading Hebrew or Arabic or something, you're reading from left to right, dipping pages from left to right, it unfolds in a linear manner. In the creation here, do we have to express our conception of the Fairy Queen online in a linear way? Hey, Dan, make sure that door's closed for us. Justin's nodding yes, as in yes, we have to do that, or
yeah.
Yes?
Yes, we have to have some sort of guide. We have to have some sort of pathway for them to follow. We just have to decide when these events occur, when they do. That's where the kind of creative license would come in.
Who agrees with Justin on this?
I agree with him to the point we need to decide how we're going to go through it, because we can't just have them running around following each part of the story. They have to be told that through an NPC, or there has to be alternate ways of finding out what's going on in the world.
Anybody have an alternative view, or perhaps a different view from what Justin's conceiving as a linear progression?
I mean, depending where the character we decide fits into the world of the Fairy Queen, they might not necessarily have to go through everything that Britomart and all the other knights go through in order if we just want to create the world where there's things going on at different times and what sort of pick which ones they want to do in what order. It'd be a departure from the story, but I mean, as a game design choice, Sparkle could be done. I think
it should be a tab. Who feels it feels confident enough that they could go to the smart board right now? Matt Shelton's there to help you if you need him, and just basically work with the classmates to talk about the story of the book three cantos that we are interested in. Talk through the story of what we read and what we discovered. Who feels comfortable with that? Lee? Yeah.
So we're talking about one cantos, 1, 3, 6, 11 through 12.
So do you want me to...
No, just you talk your way through it.
Talk your way through the story. Make the notes of the story, whatever you feel as you feel appropriate. And you can extend the page at the bottom where you can create a new page. Matt can show you to insert the new page with the plus sign if you want to do multiple pages.
Do you want me to do it?
Anybody. I mean, just, we want to know. We're designing a game. Now we've read the source material. We have to condense that source material to a certain extent, because I'm up here. We talked a little bit about the inhabitants. We talked about we have to have this environment in which this is contained, the game space. We talked about the magic circle last time. Now we're to the point where we're talking about the story. What is the story? If you had to go home and tell your mom, what's the story of the Fairy Queen? And she's got about 15 to 30 seconds available to her. What is that story? I mean, help Lee articulate the major movements of the story.
All right, well, first, Gion and Arthur meet Britomart in...
GNA. Oh, go on, Gion.
We'll do post-facto correction.
I'm impressed you can spell Gion.
Well, Gion and Britomart end up fighting
Okay, so let's look at, have to keep up with Lee's pace here. So they meet, and then they fight Redmar. I call it B-Mart. Jay doesn't particularly care for that. That would be a great location in the for a store. I'm lobbying for FPO to have a B-Mart, so if anybody wants to do that, we'll talk about that later.
Okay, well, they travel together, and they go into the woods, and they meet Floramel, who's being chased by the...
Who's they? The three of them together? Yeah, just Redmar?
All three.
All
three of them.
All three.
So they get together. Then it's Floramel time.
Yeah. And Gaia and Arthur leave to go save her, and Redmar's left alone.
Okay, so Gaia
and Arthur leave to save Floramel.
Validating Justin's linear conception here, so thus far.
Alright, and then Britomar goes outside the forest and meets the Red Cross Knight, who's being attacked by the six brothers. Six knights.
Alright, now someone else.
Somebody else that's not staring at a summary of the three.
It's not spark noting right now.
Right.
Alright, so after they end up fighting with some of those knights, and
how many of them?
How many of them?
They fight all six.
They fight all six.
They beat four.
Beat four.
They smite.
So that's kind
of smite.
Smite four of them.
Smite.
They were smitten.
And after that, they go to the castle Joyous, right?
Yeah.
What's her name? Slash Malakas.
And then Britomar wakes up when she's in bed, and Malakas faints because she's a woman. And then
it might want to be clarified that everyone thinks she's a man.
Yeah.
That was never mentioned.
So that's kind of an important overtone.
Yeah. Malakasta mistakes Britomar for a man.
There you go.
But you don't have to write everything.
Right.
But that's a key point. Let's put that in there, because I want to get some of these details in there. These could inform how we choose to let this unfold. Britomar's a man.
No, you see, I think that's an interpretation. I think Malakasta knew Britomar. In her heart, she knew she
was
a female.
Wasn't that an interpretation?
Yes.
You're better wishful thinking, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, why would Malakasta be the only one to realize that she's...
And if Malakasta realized, why would she crab faint when she realized that Britomar wasn't?
It's a cover story.
Cover story.
Just think about a dialogue that could go on there.
I'm impressed. This kind of arguing back is just the way you settle interpretive issues. So, what happens?
The knights rush in after Malakasta screams, faints, and fight Britomar again.
Big fight.
Trigger.
Big fight.
Trigger encounter. Large.
Insert ESPN nights. Game Day commercial.
We're in that commercial, by the way.
You are?
Bandy?
Yeah.
Bandy's got a nice little section in the ESPN Game Day commercial.
So,
then,
what did you find here?
How far have you gotten in book three with this summary? You're still a cat on one.
we're being too specific, maybe?
Yeah. No. This is exactly the... In fact, you know, this would be the outline for which you get more specific.
Go ahead and do it. You can flip up.
Yeah,
we
just
made
20 pages. Yeah.
Oh, well, it's going to be on the so Lee's decided he's going to do one page per canto.
Right. Well, let's go to three, because... That's pretty much it, right?
So
Wounded by Arrow?
Yeah.
Or Depart.
Make sure Jim's satisfied. I don't think he's satisfied.
Jim's
not
satisfied.
Okay, never mind. Jim's satisfied.
Purple blood.
You want to make sure Jim's satisfied.
What about the Magic Mary? Did we say that?
Three.
I'm in. It's the second page.
Good shot. Good try.
Okay.
Into the third.
Yeah.
Put down.
Still is.
Ooh.
No spark, man.
They go to the nose.
Does it start with the birth of the two daughters?
I think that it starts with Merlin.
That's six.
Yeah, it starts in
starts talking Merlin. About Merlin, but yeah. I don't really know what we can do with that.
Doesn't Merlin tell
we only read excerpts.
That's important. With the
you could say Britomart finds out the name of her.
But
by the
way,
what?
Britomart finds out
the tree.
Sisters. She also sees right. She sees their history with how like her and Arthgal's son, like children will rule someone.
That's not really a history.
Right, and then fight against
the future.
Yeah.
Right.
The wrong
like finish the sentence.
I want a verb. Give me a verb. Exactly. Can
I find a vowel?
What do we say?
Well, why does Britomart want to go see Merlin?
Find out who the man in the marriage is.
Blouse.
She's in pain. She's like a doesn't figure
so
out.
So we start off.
Start off.
Britomart in pain.
Okay.
Epic
suffering.
Cinematic. She's in pain.
And, well, why were they going
to take her to Merlin's castle?
Blouse.
It's going to have way too many cutscenes.
Blouse.
It's just going to be like Metal Gear Solid 4.
Focus on the sequencing, guys. Let's back up here. Let's reintroduce this. We had Lee up there. It opened up Britomart's in pain. Now, what's the context? What's happening here in Book 3? I can't tell 3.
Her heart hurts. She has that hopeless love because she can't find Arthgal. And she also...
She's motivated to find Arthgal. Why?
Because she's in love with him.
She saw him in
a magic mirror and fell in love with him.
What was the shape of the mirror?
Right?
No, we didn't mention this.
So we gotta have a flashback.
Kind of a critical transition here moment, isn't it?
Gotta have a flashback.
Flashback. How that violates your linearity?
Not necessarily.
No.
Flashbacks. Yeah, flashbacks.
You can see what your linearity
is. She's so much
you know, and so flashback. The whole of Canto 2 and 3 is a flashback, and inside the flashback they look into a crystal ball to a flash forward for what she will do when she finds Arthgal. But it's linear.
It's stuck. It's linear.
Because there's still a sequential order of events.
It's a crooked line, but it's still a line.
We'll go through string theory pretty soon. Watch out. So we got some Arthgal flashing back and forwards here, so go with what Evan's saying. Britomart's in pain, but there's multiple reasons why she's in pain, or just one. Is it emotional pain?
It's emotional.
Okay. Is this what we're talking about here? Are we trying to find the storyline to highlight and express emotional pain? Is she dealing with her arrow still, Joe?
Yeah.
She may be feeling the effects of the stain from the arrow still.
Yeah. Yeah, and call it me, Prof.
It's a seminar.
And so, isn't that an interesting transition that Spencer wounds her physically, And then you get a flashback to her emotional wound that set her off on that. So it's as if all two and three exfoliate from the physical action of one, of the wound there. Is that linear?
We're going to have it in a linear time frame and sequential events if we're going to do it.
Let's see if we can someone help Lee get those sentiments. We got emotional and physical pain. What's the story at the start of this process? We're on the quest for Artigal, right? So help Lee out on this part. What's the next part of the story?
Brynamart, injured emotionally and physically, goes to Merlin to help her resolve those pains.
Goes to Merlin.
Taking her, whatever.
And then that gives you a location, because this is a spatio-temporal. So what's the location?
Note the Feather Clan's right. Note the locations here as we talk through it.
Merlin's cave.
Cave.
The bronze. Goblin ball thing.
Thing. It sounds like Pippin is the
go.
Yeah, it's a Pippin thing.
Bronze ball thingy. Only in the movie.
Here, as Evan said before, we see the future of her life. So, I don't know if that's important because it's not something that happens to her, but it might be a good concept.
Since it's 90% of the canto, I think it ought to be part of it.
Sure.
Yeah. See future.
Just put like a high three or something.
Merlin's cave. No, new dot. New dot. Sees her future.
Her future or her family's future?
Both.
Aren't you your
but hers?
Nope.
Because she married
Sadical.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah, in fact, all of England is comes from that union.
Freedom Arthur.
So you got a happy ending to this point.
All of England. That's like
well, all of the important people, like Queen Elizabeth.
No, I agree. The conflicts don't matter.
You're leaving Lee hanging, guys. He's trying to lead you through your design process.
So she decides to start on her quest for Artigal.
Starting on the quest for Artigal.
Is it Artigal?
Artigal.
Artigal. It's a pun on Arthur.
Wait.
And they're related.
So do you pass the H?
It says somewhere.
That's how it is.
Can we jump to Canto 6?
Canto 6?
Canto 6? I mean, does she find Artigal in this place?
No, no, but she meets
but Red... Does she find Artigal in this place? Think about it for a second.
She meets Red Cross and hears about him.
So is he mentioned in this canto?
Yeah.
So he has an appearance in some capacity or another?
Sure, maybe.
I mean, he does or he doesn't. I mean, the physicality doesn't have to be there. Is it a mental image, perhaps?
Yeah,
there you go. Especially because Red Cross is describing
it. She saw it. Where did she see it?
In the mirror.
So it sounds like there's a couple of items in here that she would want. If you were going to transport this into a game space, what items would you want?
A magical mirror?
You're going to have a physical, magical mirror in this space, right? An artifact.
We're going to need masks.
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
Merlin's hand is the crystal ball.
You got the
magic mirror. Derek wanted to say something here. He's asking us a question.
In Merlin's cave, that wasn't where the mirror was. She saw the mirror earlier before she went out in the first place. All that was there was the crystal ball that Merlin used to show her.
The mirror was her father's, right? Yeah. It was before the Canto 1.
This is pre-Canto? This is knowledge that we
discussed this correct?
Before we came in?
Is this correct?
Yes.
Yeah. How are we supposed to outline
in Canto 1, she was already on the way to find...
Right.
Article.
So Canto 2 then is a flashback to her father's house where she sees the mirror.
Yeah.
So is the mirror in Canto 3 at all?
No, I guess.
So there's no physical manifestation of a mirror or
she just mentions about the mirror.
Okay, so she makes mention of it.
Yeah.
Is just because it's not here to carry forward Canto 3, do you would you want as a design decision, telling your story, informing the people who are going to be walking in a linear manner if Justin has his way through the storyline? Is the mirror or the crystal ball relevant? I haven't agreed with you. That's not the point. I'm still going to go at you. So, I mean, is this, it seems very relevant to me to Canto 3.
I think we'd have to create a separate space for either cutscene, whatever it may be, and load up all of those, like the house, the mirror, whatever, and go through that event and play it for the player, and then cut back.
Ding, 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 ding.
Trigger on the crystal ball, right click, and
something's going to have to, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We're going to have to.
You click on the crystal ball, you look into it, you show a little bit of her walking up to it, looking into it, and then you go into the fair. And
we don't have to decide it, but this is the type of conversation that I want you guys to think about as we're going to get towards the end of class when I cut this off, is the assignment components. And you guys are going to have to accept responsibility for various elements that Lee's outlining here. You're actually going to physically design these spaces and populate it with artifacts. And I would, the big advice I have is, when we go through the story review, you want as many relevant tie-ins back to the text as possible. And there may be, we presuppose knowledge here. We have this preordained knowledge that, oh, we know about her father's room. So how do we accommodate that in our magic circle, which we've defined our game space? How are we going to accommodate that? So be thinking about that. Let's go ahead and proceed to the next canto.
That's good.
Professor, unless you had something other.
No, 5 and 6.
Should I put the crystal ball in
3? No. No crystal ball in 3.
Who cares about Canto 5?
Canto 5 and 6. And we do those together because if you remember, the version you read breaks in Canto 5 at stanza 27 with the story of...
Where are you at again, Professor?
Stanza 27.
Canto
5.
Belle Phoebe.
And Timaeus. What happens?
Belphoebe finds Timaeus unconscious and wounded on the forest floor. In this canto, or after, just in general? I mean, it's after he fights and kills the forester.
Right.
She finds him and then takes him back to her house or her dwelling.
Evan has made an assertion. Does anybody want to support and or contradict said assertion?
I think she searched for herbs to heal him.
Herb search.
Herb search. Sounds
herb
like
quest. Herb quest.
Everybody jumped on that one. Hey, you've got your quest there.
Takes him. Somebody said takes Timaeus to her house. Herb search. Yeah, that'd be stanza 42.
Okay.
Going on into Canto 6, what's happening?
Story about birth of Belphoebe in Amoret.
Great.
Chrysogony.
Wait, how are we going to tell this story? Keep it linear.
Flashback to
linear. Did we not mention
that? Yeah, I'm not saying linear, but like okay. Storyline. Okay. So you have to have linear gameplay. Or else they're not going to know where to go.
The question is, which character do you want to follow? Venus, Diane, Amoret, Belphoebe?
I think they tell us more about Amoret than Belphoebe, but Belphoebe takes more role in the story.
So you follow what... Yeah, Amir has said, and of course, I mean, enough of grief for Justin. I think he's maintained his position valiantly, and in fact has slain at least four of the six knights he's encountered. Of course, you have to experience it linearly in the game, but what a virtual world experience allows us that a novel doesn't is you can, if we, the designers, choose to have multiple paths diverge, you can choose to follow Diana. Or you could choose to follow Venus and with Belphoebe. And Venus would lead you where?
Garden of Adonis.
So that's the kind of... So that it's, of course, a linear experience for every game player, but two game players could have completely different linear paths.
Yeah, and also, that kind of relates to the column because a lot of times one of the characters is facing a decision to go one way or another way. Like, kind of Brynn Mart could have chased the guy chasing Florimel, but she decides to just go on.
Right there in Canto 1, yeah. Spencer had that fork and sent two of her characters, three of her characters, because Timaeus and went off after the Forester, mm-hmm. and Brynamarth went the other way. But the poem had to follow one of them.
Right.
In a game space, you could do both directions.
Yeah.
So we should like design all of these different routes, and then have the player go through and just be like, which do you want to follow? And then they have to choose one. And then would they be able to come back and then do the other ones?
That's so hard to decide, isn't it?
Didn't we talk about the Garden of Adonis being kind of a resting spot? And so I noticed in Lotro, when we're playing through the resting spot, specifically Tom Bombadil's place, it's very static. There's not a lot of enemies there. And you can kind of see him telling a story. So could we do something similar where that's kind of a conduit through which the player can reach the other story, but not necessarily a fleshed-out storyline itself? I mean, that would keep the player's experience all-encompassing as opposed to allowing one player to get kind of like, you know, suddenly Belphoebe, and then the story that happens.
Well, I think this is a good observation. That's a possibility. What Jim said is a possibility. Let's finish this activity in terms of getting our story context done. Let's finish up where Lee was here.
Right, so we'll do Amoret first, the story. So she gets taken up by Venus. Venus goes to Garden of Adonis.
Well, Venus and Diana are searching for Cupid and find the babies and each decide to take one to their respective places.
So we also have to tell the story of how
maybe her pregnancy.
Chrysogony's pregnancy.
Do we get to make sections in the game?
Yes, you do. Sexual acts? Because in fact, there's downloadable mods in the night's court.
I think just sun rays and not
the sun rays.
You got sun
rays.
Some things happen. Yeah. And just like, yeah, just.
All right, so you had two. Let's talk about this. Let's get this Amoret situation to be a situation resolved. Where are we at with this? Amir, you were going down a path with this. Help Lee out. Let's go with this.
I was going down.
You went down the path with
The two goddesses stumble upon said babies. Each decide to take one to their respective homes and raise them in a certain manner. I don't know if that's really necessary to this story we're doing right now. And then, let's see. After they take each one, I feel like there's a long period of time that just elapses and we find that they're adults at that point.
And time passes.
So is that enough on Canto 6? Y'all happy with that account of it? Maybe he didn't write it all down, but he got the point. Amaret, Elphaebe taken by their respective goddesses, raised.
Is it significant that Elphaebe was more of a naive chastity and Amaret more of a, like, isn't the Garden of Adonis, have, like, a healthy sexuality to it? Like, they don't promote a sterile chastity, they just promote a chastity defined by, like, conditions of love.
I think that's highly significant. But not necessarily highly significant for game design,
for game, right.
Which is an itch, though it's possible. I mean, it would take a lot of creativity to think of ways to do it. But there are ways to expend that creativity. No? You think it's too hard.
It makes Elphaebe really small. It's just like a child.
Well, you know how they have the characters that just talk? Like when in Lotro, when you walk up to them and like you click on them and they just say something? You could build it with that. I mean, you could have couples having sex and be like, I love you in one, and then it'd be like in the other, nobody's having sex. I'm like, oh,
we're gonna make so we're making an AO game now.
Apparently.
Okay, on to Canto 11.
We got about 10 minutes to finish this activity up.
11 through 12. We're going to do them simultaneously. What happens first?
Yeah, this one was. Britomart faces Oliphant and finds Scudamore distressed.
So, what part of the poem did he just quote from? What? Yeah. What's that called?
Little summer.
Blurb. It's called the argument. The argument. In the olden days, plot summary was called the argument, and so he Spencer prefaces the argument before each canto.
Argument still means plot.
I like the way he spells distressed. Sounds like
he did it for you. He was like, I know.
Chasing all of fun. And finds.
Distressed.
Scudamore.
I don't know why we had the H work. Sure. Put a T at the end of every word.
He convinces her to aid him.
No, just go.
Just try to get the high points, guys.
Yeah.
Kessel.
Think about the place and think about the who and if there's any significant items that need to be referenced during the
issue.
Chris Bang has his hand up here.
To the castle.
Close to
the fire.
Yeah, fire. It's highly significant.
There's a castle booster in.
So there's a castle around here. It's important.
Castle booster.
Castle booster.
You should clarify which castle that is.
Do we hear at all that the ogre was chasing the beautiful boy?
You should make castle booster in black.
You might, and of course, again, if you're there's an element of the poem to that. You as game designers, and as you're discussing the story. Is that something that you want to be represented to the participant in your game space that you feel is relevant to your any overarching goals that you have?
It could be something fun to kill.
And there may be a reason to kill him because he's chasing the boy. Elephants being killed, basically.
Well, doesn't someone kill? Doesn't Red Cross Knight or somebody?
Yeah, it seems to
save the Squire of Dames, right?
It seems to me that anybody playing this game is going to be, I guess, interested in the Fairy Queen, and they're going to want as many details from it as possible. So, I don't know, that might be a reason to include it.
If we're going to do remediation of the story into this, then we'll probably want to preserve things that will allow people to actually interpret it correctly. As opposed to just be like, hey, this is a hack and slash, you know, this is all a Fairy Queen. You know, probably want to have story elements in there.
Well, that goal, let people have fun and interpret it correctly, coupled with your target market is a group of people. Jim's assertion is that a group of people who probably already have are predisposed to an interest in Edmund Spencer and the Fairy Queen. So you're making two assumptions right there about how you're going to interpret this storyline and what elements of the storyline you want to see made manifest physically in the game, if you accept the word physicality in that sense. Right, so what else? Let's finish up Canto 11 and 12.
So throw all the fun in there. Right under the, just, oh, okay. Right. Sorry.
So Scudamore, Grimmar walks to the fire.
Grimmar walks to the fire.
Scudamore gets burnt trying to, because, should we say the reason in the summary? Or
who's
to say it, whether or not?
Yeah, say it.
His envious desire to, he's not patient.
Well, that's an interpretation.
So yeah,
Glycerine casts firewall, and then she has a fire, so she does it the same way, and then he doesn't.
Okay, so have you got her into the castle yet?
Yeah, we just did.
Yes.
Walks through fire. Okay, she's in the castle.
But just for me later on, we're going to take these notes, we're going to put in our class supplemental materials. We reuse the mirror mirrors. So just do me a favor, put fire, walk, Britomar, something that's a little bit more lucid for me to remember what that was.
He's doing that, what does she encounter when she goes into the castle, Glycerine?
Great.
Tapestries. Tapestries.
And then the whole thingy.
Statue.
Masses. So first tapestry. Tapestry of Cupid. And then the Mask of Cupid. Somebody said that already, so I'm just repeating it. Then after the Mask of Cupid, what happens?
The waiting.
She waits for a day.
Okay, waiting for a day. The Mask, the parade.
They come in and Amory's heart is on the...
That's part of the Mask.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's an illusion.
It's an illusion.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Glycerine is a...
Obviously, because then she's...
Mask of Cupid, okay. What happens next? Wait.
For 24 hours.
Yeah, 24-hour pause, game time.
That's actually an option.
But, you know, you really could design that into game if you wanted.
Because you have a rest.
You know, you could just say, okay, now you have to go do something else for, and have a timer on it that was either game time 24 hours or real life time 24 hours. It could be either one.
Game time should be slower.
Okay, wait for 24 hours, then what?
And then go back to
come back
to
the mask.
Mask again? Mask 2?
Stage
2.0. Okay, and then what happens? Come on, step it up here.
She tries to kill the turret, and Mark stops him.
Big fight.
Yes. Right. Not really a big fight. She just stops him from killing him.
She
holds
him
with sword
points. She smites him.
Smiting's going on.
She holds him with sword points.
She doesn't smite.
There's another observation.
She really beats the crap out of him.
She just
overpowers him.
She knocks him down.
That's not a big fight.
We can make
it. Yeah.
We should make a creative wise an epic encounter.
We can make a fucking lunch counter, and then the first thing you hit him with is that.
Hold on. Iron Mask come down and kill him.
What was she wearing? What was Britomart wearing?
Britomart?
Yeah.
Oh, the cloak.
Yeah, invisible cloak. Sable vestment.
That's what I said.
Don't forget.
Sable vestment.
Which we had not had in Canto 1. She must have picked up a magic item. She must
she
have
got some loot.
She got a loot drop.
She got a loot drop.
But, you know.
That can mean the 24-hour wait.
That's an interesting point. Ooh, yeah, nice. Cloak
quest.
She had it before.
Excellent. But, you know.
She got it from B-Mart.
Spencer had loot drops. Spencer so had loot drops because these characters would wander on and they'd feed people, they'd take their arms. I mean, that was part of chivalry, was to take the arms of your defeated foe. That goes all through this poetry. The armaments of defeated foes.
So did they have to take the armaments? Or
no, well, that's why you had a scribe.
A couple more comments about, we do 11. What else do we want?
We're already through.
Are we
this
through?
Is it. No, we've got the cloak and then the fight. Then what happens?
Yeah,
Britomart slightly wounded. Yeah. Britomart wounded again. She takes some wounds.
How are we going to make it significant that Britomart's wounded if, like, they're in fight all the time and the player's actually...
We'll make, like, the vision blurred.
Or we could just have while we're around,
a little short
like cutscene after the battle, like...
She's dead.
Yeah,
so cheating. Then what happens to the castle?
Everything just
works. Yeah, just
have the streets go away.
Castle in ruins.
Have her bleed on her.
Continue.
Okay. And so exit. Castle in ruins. She's out. End of.
And then it depends on
what we have to make it significant
that Scudamore and Squire
are there.
Exit and Scudamore gone.
Left. Exit and Scudamore and Squire are gone.
Yeah.
And then.
Unless you want to use the old version.
Got it.
It's a joyous encounter.
So it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
So think about the journey, the very tiny journey you just experienced, just covering the story. Now you look up here, I've been talking about world design. You went through a plethora of inhabitants. You went through some major story elements. How do you think the LOTRO design team, how long do you think, I don't know the answer to this question, I'm just curious, how long do you think it took them to do the base areas that you've walked through, like Bree? How long do you think it would take, based upon what you read in the Fellowship, to come up with all of the detailed attributes around Bree?
2 years.
No. 3 years.
A few years. To come up with them, like,
come up
in our head or create them?
Just the agreement process on, I've seen some quiet dissent or interpretive discussions when they are selecting things. Professor Clayton will tell you about one, talk about at the entrance of the South Gate of Bree. You made that observation to me, sort of the Easter egg philosophy that shows detailed thought.
Right. When you're leaving Bree and the South Gate, right there by the stable, there's the house of that surly guy, what's his name? Bill Fernie.
Yeah,
exactly. Fernie. And I've run through Bree 500 times and never noticed it until rereading The Fellowship of the Rings for this class. I came across the story of Bill Fernie, and then the next time I was there, I went, oh my God, they got Bill Fernie's house right there. You know, and nothing happens. It's not involved in the story. It's just there. So you can have Easter eggs like that that are only there to be interesting for people who know the story. And then you can have other kind of design elements that are there for the players to interact with.
I think what I wanted to illustrate was this. I mean, those sort of, I think, excellent details are a gift to people who really appreciate the book. I don't remember seeing Bill Fernie in any of the movie instances. Perhaps we did.
I don't think we did.
But you have to be aficionado of some sort or have some familiarity with the text to enjoy that particular Easter egg, if you will. There's a lot of content expertise required. required. And if you were going to translate this into a film and then turn it into a script, the amount of detail effort required, where you have to look at the landscape, the milieu, you have to look at the inhabitants, you have to see how these inhabitants conduct themselves over time, and these things do unfold in a linear manner. There's a story to it. There's physical things. The physical component of this, I'm looking up here on the board when I'm looking through how I had to deal with Mithrandale, which I'll talk about in our next time together. There are a series of physical elements that we discussed. Whether they were important or not or relevant, there were tapestries, right? There was a sable. Would you say a sable cloak, Jay? Sable cloak. There's a sable vestment. There was a, we talked about mirrors. We talked about crystal balls. There's a lot of physical things that you have to attribute to the carrying forward of the story. I mean, you've got to grab it, and they're important to the story. They have to be made real in the storybook. But there's three other aspects which aren't as easily defined. You know, you can look at the people, you can look at the story elements, and the story elements can be carried forward by dialogue. And I want to show you the dialogue editor before we get out of here. There's some certain mechanics that you can use, and I think that the dialogue editor is going to be the most important mechanic as you create an NPC. How many people have actually played with the editor so far? Okay, less than half of you. I think you ought to start playing with that this weekend. You really should. I think Derek can sit there and tell you that it's not going to be the easiest thing in the world, but I've got some websites that you'll be able to go and educate yourself as to the mechanics of, because we're not going to give you a tutorial. Matt Shelton will be available to help you with the editor, answer questions, and so forth. So Matt's available. You can contact Matt through Facebook. But the spiritual, cultural, and political elements, we're going to talk a little bit about that next time. There is a political context and a temporal context historically to Edmund Spencer's motivation here. We discussed historically the context and who he was sucking up to at the time. That's a clinical term. But there's a spiritual element here, there's a cultural element, and we decided that chastity is something very important, that the theme that ran through this story. How do we illustrate that in the context of this world? So be thinking about those things, and I think we don't want to trivialize the amount of effort required in this. This is Neverwinter Nights 2. I showed you this. This is the editor. And this is an important thing that you guys understand, and there's a library of items. What you see there is up on the main screen, you're going to see here, for example, it's a little bit hard to see, this is a chair, right? There's a series of objects you can grab in the world. View this as a palette, and then come back and look at Derek's computer later. He has the editor open, and he's playing with it a little bit. Lee has it over there if you want to look at it. I have it open on my side. This is a palette. You're painting. You grab an item into the space you create, and you drop it down. And now you've physically made something happen. Each item has attributes. It can be destroyed. It can have a name. And the name, the physical name of the item that you place in that space can be of significant narrative import, right? I mean, it can be extraordinarily important to our narrative experience. The table here is this conference table in the room. We talked about last time how we remediated the room. You're going to see over here in this left side of the editor, these are areas. These areas, there's scripts and there's dialogue or conversations over here. So this is the area. This is where you look to see the various components. You don't need to worry about scripts unless you have an interest in the scripts themselves. What we're going to focus on is the creation of items, areas, and actual NPCs, non-player characters that we're going to populate this space with. So just that's the basic thing you need to know, is this is a palette that you paint on, that you drop things into, like Visio, like PowerPoint. It's really drag and drop to a large extent. And this is the area you want to focus on in terms of the area contents. And the blueprints are the base items. There's an archetype item from which you can make your custom items and place into the universe. So Matt Shelton will be available to help you with more details as you get interested with that. Couple resources I'll give you. You can come see those after class, and they'll be made available to you online. But nwvault.ign.com is a place where you can get a lot of prefabricated areas to see what other people have done with it. Wikia is a good reference. There's a lot of Wikia, but NWN2 Wikia. And Neverwinter Connections is an interesting social network for Neverwinter Nights players. It's a really fascinating set of resources. Fairy Queen Online is out on SourceForge. There is a link to the Fairy Queen Online in our blog. So just FQO, SourceForge is the link to it. You'll be able to get to this, download the .mod file, and copy that into your, wherever you have your Neverwinter Nights 2 modules directory. You can play it locally, play with it, get a sense of it. Open your editor. You can't hurt this, okay? We've got a master file, so you can do whatever you want to it. Destroy it, no problem. Play with it, tear it up, modify it. It's fine. Because at a certain point, we'll teach you how to export it, and we'll teach you how we want things constructed. But in the meantime, this is a place for you to get started this weekend. Make sure when you come to class that you've opened up the module, you've downloaded it from SourceForge, and you've opened it in the editor at least, and hopefully you've had a chance to walk through it.
This is really crucial.
Very crucial.
You've got to go there, download that, and then get into it. And you'd want to do it over the weekend, not the morning of class.
Really, you don't want to do it morning of class.
Because you'll have a glitch for sure if you're trying to do it at a short time period. Do it when you have time for it not to work. Okay.
Now, we talked about last time the design teams. We have our design teams. When you come to class on Tuesday, these are your teams. Team 1, this is not an order of priority, so don't get excited, Derek and Lee. These are your mates. Everybody know each other? If not, get to know each other afterwards. And I want you,
and this
you
is Justin C.
Justin C.
Got it.
Justin G.
Different Justin. Distinguish between our Justins. Come to class, sit next to your teammate on Tuesday. Or reconfigure the way you guys normally sit, so make sure you're with each other. Let Amir and Dan figure out who's going to which end of the table.
Oh, you're so coming over here.
That's going to be a fun fight. We'll have Lee bring the D20s next Tuesday.
Right here.
He's got them right here.
I got it now.
And if both members of the team need to have played with the SourceForge game before next class period, because if you haven't, then you're going to be relying on the other person to do all the carry all the weight for you, and that's not fair to your classmate.
This is the participatory intensity of the class, and that Sheldon can tell you it's pretty tough going to get started because you're going to stumble through and have to learn a lot. But there's your teams, so make note of them now.
Go back to the URL, please.
It's on the blog.
You gotta, I know, but I'm just typing. I had it mostly typed in.
You're not going to type that whole URL in class. We'll get you after class. There's your teammates.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't learn everything that I have.
Now, Professor Clayton, you want to chat through this real quick? We are going to start more deeply into this topic now that we've had the conceptual story understanding. We're going to start more 5 minutes after.
Right. So we just did spatiotemporal map. We spent all too long on Canto 1. Because last year's class has already made Canto 1. So that's what you will see when you go into the game. You'll see a completed Canto 1. Now you won't see everything that you'd like to see in it, believe me. But the rough spatial, the spaces, the main encounters are there. So we need to move on to our fresh area so that instead of you just populating Canto 1 with more stuff, I want you all to be able to use your real creativity on a new area. So we've proposed that you do Cantos 11 and 12, Boussarain's Castle, Scudamore, Oliphant.
Castle shall be black.
Someone has an opinion.
I'm glad you decided already.
So one team of those seven gets to make Castle Boussarain. Folks, so one team gets Castle Boussarain. One team gets the field outside with Scudamore on it and Oliphant running around in it. And one team gets to make an area based on Venus's tapestry, because we had this inspired idea of you're inside Castle Boussarain, you come upon a picture hanging on the wall, you click on it, it's an instance, and you go into the tapestry, where you then find Venus and Adonis and, what you really find on that tapestry is you find Cupid shooting at people and causing all kinds of mayhem in the world.
Gotta fight Cupid.
You
should make the garden also.
So,
like
I don't think we can do Garden of Adonis. So, you got those three areas. Which teams want them? Okay. Think of what teams you all want, what areas you want. Start thinking of them. Start thinking of arguments for why you deserve to be the team to make your area. Because only three teams are going to get to make. Well, let's see. I bet we'd have.
We could probably come up based upon what we did here. We may have other areas.
We may have other areas.
But these
okay.
are the three that we thought were particularly
okay.
interesting.
Now click over to the next page, please. And these are possible NPCs. Each team is going to design an area or a part of an area, like outside of Castle Disarray versus the inside of Castle Disarray. Those can be two different teams. But think of will this list be posted?
Yeah, I'm going to upload this whole PowerPoint.
Okay. Look at this list right now. Pick your character. Because you get to make one NPC and one area.
Wait, only one?
Minimum of one.
Oh, okay.
Have to.
You have to pick one.
Let's not. We're going to have to stop this conversation right now, unfortunately. That's the scope. I'm going to put this in class supplemental materials. You guys will have this out there for the weekend. This will be up for you to review, peruse, and enjoy. There's a blog topic. I just want you to we talked about remediation. We talked about the interpretation issues here. Describe the physical attributes of Britomart. What does she look like? How tall is she? What does she wear? Would she vote for Obama or McCain? With which historical, mythical, or contemporary person would you compare her? So that's the descriptive element of things that may give you indication of her personality. Write a four-line conversation between you and Britomart. Try to stay true to the text. I know you're all going to be humorous and witty in the process. However, try to stay true to the text. How would you converse with Britomart? What would you instance a dialogue? Because we're going to come in and we're going to start talking about dialogue and game mechanics and more higher level spatiotemporal design in our next exciting adventure on Tuesday. Yes, Derek.
Are those two different blog topics or both in the
same blog topic?
Same blog topic.
So, you want us to describe before and then go into the conversation then?
Up to you.
Could we unveil within the, like, just have, okay.
The spirit of the exercise is to try to get you guys to think about the remediation, and then we're going to see the scope and variation of your relative interpretations in your blog. Professor Clayton?
I think you all should go and have a good blog writing session and start designing. Farewell.
Thanks, everybody.
I'm trying to make it.
If anybody wants to hang around right now and talk to Matt Shelton about design issues,
most of the project, our most of the project for like this are alarmed about that.
No, but
this is my most
roommate, this is my least one.
Introduce yourself, John. Hey, Matt, give me control of the screen, please. Do you have the ticker? I can't find it.
Just press the button.
Oh, okay.
At minimum, there you go.
Here,
Matt, let me put it in there for a second.
I think it's going to be
Got it.
It's going to be a little bit different than the other zombies.
I'm used to really people.
Yeah.
That's a swirl down.
Yeah. But no.
Well, I just made this. This is just a new
color. Oh my God. What do you want to do?
And I can't. I don't know how to use this.
This whole zombie tag.
I have to relearn it every time. But this conference room, including, so you come into a classroom and you exit from the classroom into one of two doors, I'll show you in a second. So there's our small bar. There's our coffee machine. There's this bar for the Astros. Matt Hall. We've got to do Matt Hall. Jake Wagner. So
If I had
a don't, actually, if you want to run around, so this is online. This is online right now. Anybody in the world can go and join me. All you have to do is download the module that we made last year.
It does, but it's going to be set 3 weeks,
so that's why it's so like
random injection of
the whole semester. That's our classroom. And we have our classroom. Yeah. Yeah. This is the worst game interface ever. And I can't ever remember how you move around in it.
Okay, Lee.
Okay, there it is. How do I get
started?
So look at that. What a stupid game design. Hey, Lee. You're good at Neverwinter Nights 2, moving around. Would you take them on a guided tour of Fairy Queen Online? Have you ever been in there before? Well, time to learn. So come sit down at my class. Lynn, oh, I'm sorry. Am I interrupting your conversation? Would you do the tour?
I mean, I'll do it.
I love
that.
I have to show her how to.
No, you've got to go.
I can do it for like 15 minutes.
I
have like 15
Lynn
minutes.
Is more important.
All I have to do is like show her how to change the settings.
That is like way more important. Do it. Do it. Okay. So I want to take them into Spencer's study first.
You can go download it and set up the version.
Take them into Spencer's study first, and then into the game itself.
So you just go to the options.
Clarence are easy to level up.
And go to
the fighters are good. Yeah. Paladins are favorite. Mode.
I think and you go to what were you having trouble with? Actually,
like the camera angles and.
Camera angles. You just hold down the middle button and move your mouse.
Okay.
But you'll need to adjust this because it's.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still don't like it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right.
Now that I'm a barbarian.
I'll
like
send you a
quick
out.
Yeah.
I'll send
that
you
makes
out.
Life a lot easier.
Yeah.
Hey, Lynn, I saw your message, and I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to respond yet. I have no idea.
Okay. Someone posted on the forums at like 3 o'clock this morning and how to fix it, so I got it finally.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
But it was just, yeah, I don't know. There's something wrong with the download, and so I had to go through and like erase a bunch of stuff. Yeah, it's fixed now though, so it's okay. Yeah.
I don't think the app is very good.
There's the library, and I've never actually been in here. So.
I think I have no problem with the game mechanics. The underlying, I mean, you're going
to
make design and sacrifice decisions, but my biggest problem is the bloody interface.
Please.
My God.
So, the interface is so
yeah. 5 to 9.
Do you want to get on after?
I mean,
like, you want to
meet
in the
talk.
When me and the lobby start working on a little bit of stuff, because if we come in with like a rough draft, we can be like, we deserve to do this because we've already done it.
Right.
Okay.
What are you guys
looking to do? So, 10 o'clock downstairs.
Derek, what are you guys looking to do?
Adonis. Or no, tapestry.
Oh, the tapestry.
Venus.
Oh, that's a cool one.
We totally call cool. The inside of the story. Originally, we wanted to do the inside.
We have a conflict resolution mechanism.
Yeah.
On
this.
So we want to do the tapestry.
The level. Whenever we ran the conflict on choice, the people who leveled the highest in Lord of the Rings Online get the choice.
How long are you guys?
49.
And I'm really.
And then I think I'm
perturbed because he doesn't speak.
I mean, like,
he needs to talk.
Groups on each project, so it's
all right.
Like, we need some kind of place to share.
Me and Lee will do the tech. We're going to get started on it tonight.
Believe me, you will far under achieve what you would desire.
So, 10 o'clock. Hold on. Lobby in July, right?
You can only level up one more time.
It's one of the
10 o'clock.
Yeah, you can level up one more time.
Yeah, okay. Like
you'll
a
be
90.
Able to level up,
that's
you'll be able to level up every
in
week after
class.
That.
But
see, but I can make
sure.
Another character if I want to.
Oh.
And the expansion.
Hold on, can we really do that?
Expansion's coming out. Hey, that's right. You had the expansion.
So
yeah,
well, there you go.
You got
he is a master. So watch out.
Obviously. Holy crap. I was like, maybe I could know.
I can now do artisan level jeweler.
Our students from last semester had the opportunity to make themselves, write a dialogue, and place it in to the conference room. We'll give these folks the same opportunity. And they chose some odd dialogue.
And here we are.
But I told them we wouldn't censor them.
Oh, looks like.
All right. That's it.
Can't zoom out anymore. Can't just change the camera angle.
A couple of those guys were.
That's awesome.
And...
All right, well,
so you're just
I don't know what
you're on the jousting plane. There's nothing on it.
Oh!
So keep going.
It's our castle.
Taking a week off from Lotro.
Are there northeast?
That way? I specifically
that's the way that I was going.
That's what I was like, this is going to be cool. I want
to
do this.
And there you see to the forest where you would... this is more design. What would be in the forest for these people who probably don't remember their fight when...
It's been a few years.
Well, just remember, the interior and exterior are two different things.
Meet up with the forester chasing Florimel. You could...
There's not a lot
meet up
of
with,
castle
with,
models. So Castle Joyous and Castle Booster have a feeling like
Delphi
a lot
right.
Not necessarily, because there's like an evil castle model.
And what is your camera angle?
Well, you check the castle.
I have no idea.
Yeah. You could also construct your own, but it's very tedious.
I was wondering, I was considering putting in the effort and just building my own castle.
But what I will get into this next time, but if you think about it,
we're
going to get this, we're going to have a complete story concepts next to our next exciting adventure. We're going to talk about how you might want to spend more time thinking through the process rather than playing with the editor. That'll save you 80% of your work in these activities or design work. And if you have some facility with the tools, it'll go quickly. But you're also in a learning curve for the tools, which has peculiar
main theme
behaviors and oddities.
Is it anything like
Lord of the Rings on the map and we watch Lord of the Rings and we have been
it's similar to that. It's similar, but it's more difficult.
Oh, no.
Because
that's not that
whenever you let Unix design stuff, they design horribly.
Confront you.
Age of Empires is for a lay person
audience.
So
yeah.
Okay, this is not. This is more people who would be very much used to
programming
with IDs.
Where are you? Are you back on the Jousting Plane?
No, I'm going to Castle Joyous.
Oh, you missed the horse.
I got a program C, so it's no problem.
I followed the
path. Yeah, at Francis.
Oh, remember? You don't know are the particular commands.
I mean, I went to Castle Joyous.
And there's a lexicon that tells you what
the
calls look like, what the procs look like, what the headers you have to import look like.
Well, I was learning JS for Warcraft 3, yeah. So...
That's
in this module, we've downloaded...
Look at some of the scripts. I built in a lot of environmental scripts. I built in the death rules.
That's
kind of governing the general physics. And I've also built in a spawn system. So you don't have to static it. If you want something to respawn...
Oh.
So there's programmatic spawn systems that have been
you are so dead. Release.
And it'll spawn what you want, where you want.
Are you dead?
Frequency. And sometimes it'll spawn at night and despawn at day. So you have a lot of...
I don't know. I think it's
glitching
with me dead.
Yeah,
all
that stuff.
There are places in my old world where I had... Zombies would only come out... Because
I want you to release. I very much want you to release.
Sunset. So the
well, I'm only level one,
night,
and running around out here.
When daytime rolled around, so they had to despawn when daylight.
So oh, I get what you're saying now. All right, yeah. I thought you were making a joke like.
So this is a
night,
glitch.
Like,
so
spawn
what do I need
night,
to do?
There you go. You're still
and
alive.
It becomes night when the night comes out.
Aren't you?
Like,
unable to move due to a status effect.
So I was like, what?
The boar probably stunned me. Okay, what happened? Oh, I paused it.
So you've just been taking damage without fighting back.
I've been trying to fight back.
Understand like sarcasm or humor.
Really, that's fun.
And apparently, do you know? Are you familiar with the artist Archibald?
No
skills. What is up with these characters?
I just chose a random character. Okay, respawn. That's what I wanted. I wanted you to respawn.
I couldn't.
I
had to wait
until
I actually died.
And where do you respawn to?
Oh, sweet.
Spencer's study.
Why doesn't Spencer talk?
Well, because we have written the dialogue, but we haven't instantiated yet. What's that on the table?
Yeah,
we already looked at
it. You already looked at it. And what are the mutabilities candles about?
That's
right. They're about stuff in the
go guys, get some meat.
Respawn center. Yeah. his study where he started with